All right, let's see. We're going to Matthew to start with here. Matthew chapter 12 this morning. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter number 12. I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we'll move into the message. We'll be looking at a number of passages. If you don't have a Bible with you, raise your hand. We have one you can use. And we'll get it to you right away. So you just hold your hand up, and somebody will take care of that. All right, Matthew chapter 12, look down in verse number 22. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. God, I do thank you for the good singing, Father, the song service, Father. That just really kind of helps our heart get ready for the message. I pray today, Father, that you put a hedge about this place. I pray, Father, that you keep out every foul and unclean spirit. God, that we might have a time where the Holy Spirit of God has complete liberty here to minister to us and to guide and direct as you see fit, Lord. God, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. And as the world this time of year begins to think about Jesus Christ, I pray that they would think more than just of a baby in a manger, but of a 33-and-a-half-year-old man that walked the hill of Calvary one day and gave his life and shed his blood as payment for their sins. Lord, we're so glad that he not only was buried that day, but 3 days later, he rose again, never to die anymore. And Father, we're thankful for that. Speak to us today, Lord, through the message. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the Pharisees had accused the Lord of many different things, trying to find fault with him. And this time they crossed a line, and Jesus had to address their statements. They had accused him of working for Satan. And Jesus could not let this false accusation stand. He needed to set the record straight. And he lays out then a logical progression of truth. You notice in verse 25, he says a general truth that no kingdom, city, or home can stand if it be divided, or house, it says, in verse 25. Then he puts out an example that Satan working against himself cannot stand in verse 26. And then he makes an evaluation in verses 27 through 29. You know, look at the outcome, see what's being done, and you decide whether it's of God or not. And then a standard is given in verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. You know what Jesus was doing was he was forcing the people and the Pharisees to make some choices. Was Jesus working by the power of God or Satan? Which is it? One or the other. It's not both. Were his accusers right or were they wrong? You need to decide. That's what he's telling them. And whose side are you on anyway? And you look at that thing, and with that in mind, I want to bring a message, a thought here, developed on the thought in verse 25, where he says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on a house divided. A house divided. I want you to look with me, if you will, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And understand here that there's a number of houses described in the scriptures, and we're going to look at them. First of all, 2 Corinthians 5, notice he says here in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The first house that we're going to look at here is the house called our body. We live in this earthly house. Yes, we're saved and we're groaning to be desired to be clothed upon with our house that's in heaven. That new glorified body that the Lord has for us, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. None of that's going to happen ever again. We're looking forward to that day, but in the meantime, this little thing here called our body is our house, and it's where our soul dwells. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, in fact, you can look back there real quick. You're not... I guess let's do it. 1 Corinthians 6. You're close enough and you're fast enough with the scriptures. We ought to be able to get this done. Notice verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice this body is referred to as a house. It is referred to as a temple. It is referred to as a tabernacle. It is also referred to as a vessel. 2 Corinthians 4, notice verse 6. He says here, for God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Brother Logan read for the scripture reading earlier, 1 Thessalonians 4. Look over there and notice here something that's also said about this vessel, this tabernacle, this temple. Notice, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The idea is, this is our personal house. This is where we live. This is the home of our soul. It is the home of our spirit. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God has moved in and living there as well. This is why, when you go to a funeral and you view a corpse, you are looking at a body, but you know the individual that used to live there isn't there any longer. There's no lights on. There's nothing to indicate that someone is still in the house. And you know, we have this body. It is what we are. It is the home of the soul and of the spirit. And if God saved your soul, God quickened, he purchased, if you will, your spirit as well. And it is your job to rule the house. You are in charge. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so who's ruling the house? We are. We decide who is going to govern. We decide who is going to lead. We decide yes or no on what's going to be done or accepted or not accepted. When you think about it, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Bible gives us some evidence of this. Notice in the book of James. James. Right after the book of Hebrews. And notice in James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James chapter 1 verse 5. Notice it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, the idea is somebody can't make up their mind. They're going to do this now, and they can't make up their mind. You ever dealt with somebody like that? Yeah, you have. You have. Sooner or later, you come across somebody and they cannot make a decision to save their life. And you go, what's wrong with them? What? They're double-minded. They don't have a fixed course in mind as to what is right, what is wrong, whether it's good or it's bad, whether it's needed or unnecessary. They can't make up their mind. Notice James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, These things ought not so to be. Pretty clear on that. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You know what the problem here is? Somebody that's double-tongued. They're double-minded and they're double-tongued. They got blessing coming out of one side, cursing out of the other. Listen, I worked with people like this. I got out there, the guy be around me, he'd be talking about Jesus. He'd be talking about Christian stuff. He'd ask questions about the Bible. And then I would hear him over in that other crowd. And it was F-bomb this, F-bomb that, and JC this, and GD that. And I'm going, whoa. Double-minded. Double-tongued. Are you a Christian? The Lord said, he that is not with me is against me. How could I discern with somebody that is double-minded and double-tongued? How would you be able to make that determination? Are they with Christ or are they not? Which is it? A house divided. It's nothing but problems. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in there? Well, obviously there's nothing settled or confirmed. It just kind of runs around a little bit. Jesus said, if thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. When you think about that, he wasn't saying you needed to be a cyclops, one eye. He's talking about your focus. He's talking about being single in purpose. Devoted to a cause, determined in a course, decisive in a conflict. These are the things that must happen to keep your house from being divided. Because if your house, this body that you control, is divided, you are not going to stand. You know, an individual has to resolve some things in his or her heart. That no matter what comes their way, no matter how high the mountain, how deep the valley, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what kind of struggle that life throws at you, that you are going to walk with the Lord no matter what. That is being thine eye single. Thy whole body will be full of light. But if you're divided, you see, the house has to be united. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, he was referring to his household. But how about this house? How about the one you live in right here today in your seat? How about that house? Is it divided? Your spirit must be united in accord with God's Holy Spirit. If you're saved, the only way you're going to have a house that is firmly founded and planted upon that rock is for you to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. How are you going to walk with God when you don't agree with God? You got an argument with God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. You're not condemning yourself. Nobody else is going to condemn you. You're walking with the Lord. This unity can only be had through total surrender to the will of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That has to be the decision that you make. A house divided cannot stand. It's going to fall. You look around you. There are people that used to be faithful to church that were sitting in chairs right here around you. They don't come anymore. And it's not that they're going somewhere else. They just couldn't make up their mind whether they really wanted to serve the Lord or live in the world. They couldn't make up their mind. And a house divided will not stand. I want you to notice the second thing. Look over in 1 Timothy 5. Talk about another house. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to look in verse number 8. Notice here he says, "But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Verse 14, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." This would be your household, your home, your family. This is that house that cannot be divided any more than the body that you live in, this personal house, can be divided and expect it to stand. It won't happen. God has a plan, 1 Corinthians 11. And in 1 Corinthians 11, he lays out the responsibilities, if you will, for the family. In a sense here, you find the position of the man being given. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says here in verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." This is an order that God has set in place. That man has been given responsibility to control his household. He is to be the one in charge. As Christ is his head, and he in his personal house has devoted himself to live for the Lord, then that will show up because he is not divided, he's not double-minded, he's not double-tongued. It'll show up in his ruling of his household. You know, when God was looking for to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and was looking for a man he could count on, he saw Abram. And you know what he said? He said, "I know him that he will command his children and his household." He said, "I know this guy. I know he'll take charge. I know he'll do what needs to be done." And a man is to be the head. This is the individual house surrendered to God, if you will. He's the head of the woman. So Christ is the head of the man. The man surrenders his house to the Lord. Then that man gets married. That wife then is subject to her husband as she is to the Lord. And so as she surrenders her personal house to the will of God, she will naturally then surrender and submit to the head that God has designated over her in the household, her husband. Bible talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to look over there. And it kind of lays things out for us. You want to know why we have such problems with divorce and marriage and families breaking up and people not bothering to get married and this and that? It's because they're not paying any attention to the Scriptures. They don't care what the Bible says. They're double-minded. "Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. But I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to live the way I want. I don't care what the book says." See, double-minded, house divided. You look here in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Notice he says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that is dealing with the individual. That is you controlling your house. Then he goes on and says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in most things. Doesn't say that, does it? It says everything. Now, guys, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now you look at that thing and you go, all right, so if I'm going to do this God's way, then I need to take my individual house and I need to make sure that I am totally surrendered to the will of God and to the way of God and to the things that please God. And as I'm doing that, now when I look at my wife, I look at her with love and adoration, the way that Christ looks at you and I as part of the church, that love and devotion and adoration that he has for us, we as husbands are to have towards our wives. And our wives, when they see that we are serving Christ and living for him and loving him and that we love them, they will naturally want to be submitted to us and to reverence their husband, and such as the scriptures say. You say, what do you got then? You got a house that's going to stand. You got a house that's going to go on. You got a house that God's going to bless. You got a house that God is going to do something with. You know, the refusal of the husband to submit to God's plan and purpose, to take control, to be this decision maker, and to lead by example, the refusal of the husband to do that today results in a lot of the chaos we see. The man doesn't do his job. Somebody's got to do it. So the wife ends up stepping up and having to do everything. Why? Because the man doesn't. Now, what if the man is to the point of even arguing with the wife about whether to go to church or how to raise the kids or what they should learn or what they shouldn't learn? What if there's odds there? Do you think that house is going to stand? You think those children are going to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you think that just maybe the God's just going to say, I know they got their issues, but, you know, I'm just going to bless them anyway? No. No. They're going to struggle, they're going to fight, they're going to argue. Pretty soon the double tongue will come out and it'll be blessing and cursing. And you know what usually shows up, where it shows up? In the children. I actually had a woman come to my office one time, not in this church, I was pastor in a different place. And she came to my office and she said, Pastor, I've got a real problem. I said, what? I think my child is demon-possessed. Oh, sweet little four-year-old little girl, precious little girl. And I said, why? Well, sometimes the language that comes out of her mouth is just horrible. She uses curse words and things. And I said, where do you think she learned those? And she went, oh. I said, yeah, they're watching, they're listening. You and your husband, rah, 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 something said, this is said, blah, 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 And you don't think this little girl's taking all that in? You're the two people she loves and adores more than anything in the world. She's taking everything, and she's learning by your example. And listen, folks, that's the truth. That's the truth in every case. The kids don't often do as you say, but they always do as you do. And you teach them church is not an option. You teach them they don't have to learn their memory verses. They don't have to pay attention. They don't have to sit still. And you don't let them learn all of this stuff. You know what ends up happening? You lose them. You lose them. There'll be an Antifa crowd before long, burning buildings and destroying stuff. And you go, why? Because the husband doesn't do what he's supposed to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And men got to step up. But what about when the man steps up and the wife doesn't? How do you think that goes over? It doesn't work either. You know, I'm not going to submit to God's purpose and plan. I'm going to do things. Oh, you know, that's where we get this, ERA and the feminist movement and now, you know, and this one and that one. And they're arguing women's rights, women's this, women's that, women's that. Listen, you know what? If they would realize that God has a better place for them, they don't have to be the executive at the local, corporation to be a success. They actually, a lot of them eventually learned that once they have children and they stayed home, they were much happier than they were when they were out there competing and working. And God got a better plan. God got a better plan. But if they won't submit, they'll never get it. Some will argue and they'll fight and division. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And you see it happen. I know a guy was really was wanting to do something for the Lord, called to preach. I mean, he was a good preacher. He had a lot of potential. And he had an opportunity to move away from New York State. And that should have been a deal right then. But anyway, had an opportunity to move away from there and take a church in another state. But his wife wouldn't agree to go. You know why? Because mommy and daddy didn't want to lose seeing their little grandchild. And so her mom and dad were putting pressure on her. You can't take our grandbaby away. You can't do this. And so she says, I'm not going. You know what it did to that man? Better yet, do you know what it did to the Lord? Because the Lord had called the man and was wanting to bless the man, and now because of the woman, he couldn't just go without his wife. That's going to look really good. Hey, I'm your new pastor. Well, I thought you had a wife and kid. I do, but they, you know, she didn't want to come, so I left her there, and I'm here. That's going to go over really good. So he stays. He won't go anywhere. And the Lord loses a man that he could have blessed abundantly had he been faithful. And why? Because his wife wouldn't do what she was supposed to do. When I surrendered to preach and I went to that altar, I was upset. I finally surrendered. God got a hold of me. I went back to my seat and my wife said to me, it doesn't matter where it is or where we go, what it is or where we go together. She's the reason that this church is here today. She's the reason there's another church that's up in Colorado that somebody else is pastoring for 20-some years now. But the idea is, it's if she didn't say, you're my husband, where you go, I go. That's the Lord's will. We had to walk away from grandchildren. We had to move away from family. 2,000 miles away. And you say, well, what happened? God's just blessed us abundantly. And you look at that thing and say, why? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, what is the opposite? If that house is unified, that house is solidified for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it. And you look at all these things. God wants to do it. God wants to be a blessing. God wants to help you. I'll tell you one last thing. Look over in 1 Timothy 3. A house divided Not going to stand. 1 Timothy 3. Notice what he says down here in verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The third house I want to look at. First one is your body. Second one is your family, your household. The third one is the house of God. How does it stand? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Paul said, we then as workers together with him, which is what we are, in order for the work of God to progress decently and in order, there must be unity in the church. There's got to be that united purpose, at that goal of pleasing God and doing those things which are His will in every aspect of our ministry. We are to be of the same mind. We are to be in a place where we're perfectly joined together. We are to be like-minded according to the book of Philippians. Just as an individual cannot stand with inner conflict, just as the family cannot stand with contention, the church must have unity of spirit and purpose in order to thrive and to prosper. Now think about it with me for a moment. We are a family. Really, when you think about it, are we not all of one flock? Are we not all of one shepherd? And you know what? We call each other brother and sister. Why? In Christ, we are family. We are brothers and sisters. We are individuals that must be single-minded in our purpose to serve the Lord. We are families striving to fulfill God's purpose in our homes. We are submitted to God. There must be a commitment. There must be something there. Are you with us, Jesus said. He that is not with me is against me. Do you want to see the church go forward? Do you want to see it prosper? Do you want to see it become the beacon of righteousness and the source of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community? Do you want to see it go on for the honor and glory of the Lord? Maybe to make it look better on the outside, put more scripture out there. Maybe one of these days we could even afford one of those $30,000 signs like the Catholics get, though they can change the message on it and the LEDs and stuff. And, you know, I can put scripture out there instead of, little sayings. Wow, what could we do? What could we do? But we can't be it that when we're divided. We have to decide. It's going to require submission to God, which will show forth in our lives. Jesus said, hereby shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You ought to care about everybody in this room. You ought to care about all of them. There shouldn't be anybody you look over and go, That'd be like looking at that sister or brother that you never really got along with very good and despising and hating them. You don't. If somebody was starting to beat their head in, you'd be right there defending them and fighting for them. That's my brother. That's my sister. It ought to be that way with the church of God. We ought to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one before the other. You prefer them, others before yourself. There's so many things in the Bible about it. And the thing is, we got to decide. A house divided cannot stand. It can't. Jesus said it. It's not going to stand. So individually, you must choose. Can't be a double-minded man or a double-minded woman any longer. It's God's way or it's not. You're going to live God's way or you're not. You got to make up your mind. In your home, you got to decide. It's going to be God's way or it's not. You got to get unified. This is how we're going to do things according to the will and the word of God. And then God can use and bless us. And in the church house, We need people to say, you know what? This is my church. I've had people say, well, since I've been coming to your church, you know, this isn't my church. This is the Lord's church. Do you understand that I'm no different than you? I could drop dead today. I'm hoping that the church doesn't fold up and go, oh, there goes Brother Dutton's church. No. I would hope that you, for your love and honor of that book and the Lord, would go on and continue. Someone else, call them to step into this place and to go on. But that's only going to happen if you're committed to this house, to this house of God, this sanctuary, this church. You got to make up your mind. It's amazing what the conflicts can bring. If there's inner conflict in your house, your body, then you will not stand for the Lord or really care about His house. If there's contention in your family today, then you will not know the peace and blessings of God, and you probably won't care about this house either. And then if there's division in this house, then we will struggle to keep things together rather than receive the blessings of God. God has been blessing this church abundantly just in the last 3 to 5 years. We struggled for 16, 17 years. You say, well, struggle, what do you mean? I mean, God provided everything. We just kept trusting and trusting and trusting. But we were renting here, meeting over there, going, doing whatever we could, barely getting by. And then God just recently said, okay, you stayed the course. Now I'm going to show you what I can do. And now we have a building. They have some property on the highway. You know, God's got some new people come in. Some have moved away. We know that. But, you know, we've got people coming in. And, you know, I think God wants to bless this place. Believe it with all my heart. Will we let Him? Will we let Him? Can't be double-minded any longer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. And we're reminded of what the Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, I just pray that You'd help us today. Maybe there's a double-minded man or a woman in here, and I would just say today, why not resolve in your heart to surrender to God? Just get it settled, man. Quit going back and forth and round and round, and will I don't, I don't. Just surrender to the Lord's will for your life and live that life that He wants you to live. Maybe you're here and you're struggling a little bit. You got some problem with your family. Why not let God have His perfect will and way in that? Give it to God. You do your part. You surrender your house, that personal body of yours, and you say, Lord, I need help to get my house in order. I'm praying that You'll do something spectacular, and I'm going to trust You to do it as I strive to please You. And watch what God does. And boy, the church today, maybe you haven't got in. Maybe you're not part of it. Why don't you consider that? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you ask the Lord? Talk to Him. Should I be a member of Bible Baptist Church? Should I make this my church? Should I commit? You pray about it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you who should be telling you what to do, and that's the Lord. You follow His will. You do what He says, and I'm okay with that. Father, we thank You. I ask You to bless now as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.